Well, we're going to start this raw and rough as usual. This is Jared. We're going to call it the brain revival like we used to back in the day. I say we generously, assuming someone else is here with me, but I appreciate it if you are. It's been crazy. I'm up late again and getting up early. So I'm going to school to finish my master's in the teaching of writing. And I work, you know, like everybody, 60 hours a week. I do comedy. And we have two kids. Not right now, we have two kids, but we have two kids, and right now one car to tote two kids to two different schools and two adults to two different works. And Godspeed to my wife. I shouldn't be complaining about being tired. This morning, she just took off on her bike, rode her bike to the train, and then from the train to the bus, and then from her bus to her work, and then back again after a long day of work. And that's after not riding her bike for a couple of years, so she's going to be feeling it in the morning. Although, men, we should just admit it now that women are tougher than us. Just get it in your freaking head. Like, men, credit to men for an incredible marketing campaign over the last 10,000 or so years. You know, all right, we clubbed a mammoth. We feel pretty good about it. Meanwhile, Betsy's back in the cave giving birth to twins, gnawing on a stump, the only way to keep the pain from killing her. And somehow we're tougher. You freaking kidding me? So now that we have that reality in place, we can deal with some other misperceptions. That's what we were doing yesterday, talking about, again, the royal we, but it makes me feel a little better. We were talking about just this incredible, incredible delusion that people, for example, who are caught up in the quote-unquote debate of global warming, which there is none. I mean, there was a debate that was paid and made for TV by oil companies that, and other companies that they have, and it's a genuine vested interest in making trillions, that's no exaggeration, trillions of dollars on what's left in oil and gas reserves. And they realized that a conscientious public is not one that's going to be paying them that money. And the sick irony lies in the fact that the people that have come out to say, yeah, global warming is a bunch of crock, it's 24 degrees in my backyard. Well, first, it's not what's going on in your backyard warming. It's global warming, and we're seeing massive global changes. The Pentagon, as I said last night, is identified as the biggest threat to security. Not social security, although that could somehow be tied in with that. But the irony here is that these same people that have sided with the oil industry, these are the same people that say, I don't want the government telling me what to do or how to live my life. I can drive a truck that gets 1 mile a gallon. I can spill oil all over my neighbor. But they're being told what to do. They're being directed by lobbyists via the government and the government itself, with some conservative members, to not believe in global warming as a man-made cause or as a concern in general. But even deeper, they're being told to go against their own human nature that goes back thousands of years, that makes us the most successful species on the planet. That nature is, when there's something wrong that could kill us, we change and we adapt. So that's what you're talking about. Today, going to get into something else. And, you know, similar deal here. Just the hypocrisy that runs deep and the sadness within me, and I hope others, I hope to infect you with it so that we can make change. Oh, there's an inspiring sell to get people to listen to your podcast. I hope to depress you enough that you do something about something. But that when Mitt Romney is so embodies the Republican Party in this less government fiasco, this facade, really, when they want a bigger, more terrifying government than any party, than any person. And we see it with a government and Mitt Romney, who's now tried to deny it with his chameleoning to moderacy. I don't even know if either of those are words, but it sounds good. Chameleoning. He has chameleoned into a moderate right in the middle of a debate, which shocked our sleepy friend Obama. But, you know, to say that the federal government won't regulate abortion, that sounds like a big, scary government. To say that the federal government should outlaw and crack down on drugs and marijuana, that's a big, scary government. To say that the federal government should control birth control and should and should, of course, be the mediators of feminine health and happiness. That's a big, scary government. And it's amazing to me that these people see that party as one that is small government. And I've only scratched the surface of the things they'd like to do on a government level. Maybe you saw recently, back to abortion, that the House voted for residents of Washington to outlaw abortion in any case for residents of Washington, D.C. See, Washington, D.C. is an estate, you know, and they don't even have representatives, but they had that shoved down their throat from, you know, that little government that the conservative House wants. Luckily, the Senate shot it down, but just little political attempts to throw out that power, like back in the Bush years, that huge executive he created, and signing more presidential orders than all the presidents combined. You know, that little trick that used to be held as a last resort. He used, like we use soap, just every day to create a bigger, more powerful executive. So I think that's something that needs to be out there in the talking points in this brain revival today, as we stimulate an entirely different kind of organ, is that there is no little government Romney or little government Republican. It's all talk. Of course, there's the problem therein that Democrats don't know how to counter that, but that's what we're doing right now. Are you kidding me? You want a smaller government, then perhaps you should look at another party. Sure, Democrats, like Republicans, want to keep the entitlements. The Republicans aren't going to do anything with those. They never have. They always talk about it. But it's called sugar plum politics, because what you do is you go out and you say, we should privatize Social Security. Of course, nobody really wants that, especially after seeing the performance of Wall Street, or the disasters that can happen from Wall Street. Nobody wants it, but Republicans talk about it. And then when it doesn't happen, they can say, well, my opponent, he didn't want to privatize Social Security. I mean, it's just politics. So we got to get used to that, and we got to tell people that. When they talk about little government, it's just politics. When George Bush talked about little government and he didn't want, they don't want national health insurance, then why is it that he came out with that bloated, overpriced Medicare plan in 2004 that wrought havoc across the country from a centralized government, a federal government? States' rights, my ass. They don't believe in it. They do not believe in that. They talk about it. So that's all you need to say. They talk about a little government, but they don't mean it. And it just makes me crazy on two fronts, the hypocrisy there and the fact that Democrats can't counter it. And it should be so easy to do. Point out all these massive, hypocritical, and egregious fronts to the American people. Just makes a guy crazy. Yeah, it is funny. I mean, in the chameleoning of our friend Romney, he was talking to the Des Moines Register yesterday, and saying he did not want to stop Planned Parenthood and denied wanting to overturn Roe versus Wade. And the Des Moines Register, that reporter, to her credit, said, but you said during the primary that you were going to. And he brushed off the question. And then when they asked one of his spokespeople, she said that we still want to protect life. So they have these kind of strange Orwellian euphemisms that they're using. And it's just kind of a sick race to the top to say anything and do anything to get there. You know, comedian Jim Delaney, is it? He's the voted funniest guy on Twitter. He says it best, and he just sees Mitt Romney as a guy who just wants to be president. More than anything, he just wants to be president. Once he gets there, what will he do? He may just stare out a window. But this is a guy who just wants that pedigree. He has to have it. It matches his hair, it matches his money, it matches his upbringing. He just needs that classic Victorian description of president. Maybe he'll make Anne wear a corset. I mean, he just, it's dying for it. But there is no definition there other than whatever happens to fit the conversation at the time, which is a pretty scary thing. We called Kerry a flip-flopper. And we've attacked Obama for various degrees of deception. When, in fact, the whole time, it's been the attackers who have been flopping like Cirque du Soleil, man. The Etch-a-Sketch. one more. This is an attack on us, the public, and on Romney, and of course the Democrats. The three-way. It's a menage attack. But, you know, in the primary, one of Romney's advisors, campaign workers, said, you know, he used the Etch-a-Sketch reference, which was a huge, it was a huge coup for the Gingrich campaign. When he said, you know, the primary, when it ends, it's like an Etch-a-Sketch. We shake it and we start over, essentially saying we just erase everything we said and what we believe for and start over for a whole new campaign. And they were attacked for that. Like, how could you do that? You know, deceiving us in the primary. And now it's actually happened. It's actually happened. They have everything they said in the primary, they're trying to erase and try to reach towards the middle so they can get elected and then go back to the right. It's actually happening, the Etch-a-Sketching, and apparently it's happened with our brains too, just Etch-a-Sketch shaken and gone. Never, ever, ever shake a voter. Just disappears and we forget, like goldfish with three-second memories, completely forgetting why we were even indignant in the first place. Like, oh yeah, I remember something about a child's toy and a reference that belittled the person who said, I'll vote for him. All right, I'm out. This is Jared. It's been your Brain Revival. I'm hoping not to ramble too much on you, but it feels good, for me at least. And if I could include a wee, even if it's just one person, then I greatly, greatly appreciate it.